Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to our callers in just a few moments. Do want to point your attention to a question that I deal with in my book, Afterlife. Will everyone ultimately wind up in heaven? Well, in a bestseller titled Love Wins, popular Christian writer, speaker, and pastor Rob Bell says this: a staggering number of people have been taught that a select few Christians will spend forever in a peaceful, joyous place called heaven, while the rest of humanity spends forever in torment and punishment in hell with no chance for anything better. It's been clearly communicated to many that this belief is the central truth of the Christian faith, and that to reject it is in essence to reject Jesus Christ himself. This is misguided and toxic, says Rob Bell. Instead, he suggests that everyone from Gandhi to God-denying atheists will likely end up in heaven. To believe otherwise, from his perspective, is to hold to a monstrous God, a being who could never be trusted, let alone be good, a cruel, mean, vicious tormentor, a God who is loving one moment, vicious the next. Bell's outrage against such a God is palpable. If there was an earthly father who was like that, we would call the authorities. If there was an actual human dad who was that volatile, we would contact Child Protection Services immediately. Rob Bell is equally outraged by those who believe in the concept of eternal separation. He says, if your God will punish people for all of eternity, for sins committed in a few short years, there is something so drastically wrong that no amount of clever marketing or compelling language can camouflage it. And to correct the wrong, well, Bell markets a God perfectly suited for a post-Christian, human-centered, self-absorbed, feel-good, secular culture. Quite frankly, C.S. Lewis had it right. He wrote, I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully all will be saved. But my reason retorts, without their will or with it. If I say without their will, I at once perceive a contradiction. How can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? If I say, with their will, my reason replies, how, if they will not give in? So as Lewis wisely conceded, there are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell choose it. And without that self-choice, there would be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek find, to those who knock, the door will be opened. Look, the bottom line is this: without choice, heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their wills, a torment worse than hell. existence in hell, in fact, respects the intrinsic value and autonomy of human beings. So in the book Afterlife, I deal with both the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. And this is one of the questions that is addressed. Available right now for your gift. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you pick up your telephone and talk to the resource consultant standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Victor in Midland, Texas. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Hank. Hi, good to talk to you.
Likewise.
How does Mormonism explain the origins of the universe? Because from what I understand, they believe that God is was once a human and is a God now. So it kind of seems like it's an infinite series, you know, of regression. I mean, how do they, does it get to like there's one true God, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say this, that Mormons do not believe that God created everything out of nothing. In fact, leading Mormons overtly contend that matter has coexisted eternally with God. Of course, the opening statement in the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," points to the truth that God did create everything out of nothing. And by the way, only three options exist, and only one of them corresponds to reality. And let me delineate that very quickly and then go right to what Mormonism contends. In fact, you know, as you were talking, I'm opening a book called Mormon Doctrine by Bruce McConkie, and I'll read you a couple of excerpts out of that. But the three options. First is the view that in the beginning, nothing existed, neither mass nor energy nor the Almighty. Nothing, nothing, simply nothing. Logic, however, screams that from nothing comes nothing, or nothing comes from nothing. Furthermore, there's the untenable notion that something existed, but that something was an impersonal potentiality out of which every potentiality from protein molecules to personal mind emerged. That idea, however, hardly advances the proverbial ball. As common sense tells us, every effect must have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And then there's a third option, and it's the scriptural contention. And it alone makes sense. The universe was created by an uncaused first cause greater than itself. So time, space, and the universe have not always existed, but God has always existed, and God's existence is the cause for the existence of all else that exists. So did God create everything out of nothing? Absolutely. But what do Mormons contend? Well, here's the doctrinal hatchet man of Mormonism, Bruce McConkie. Here's what he says. It is an utterly false and uninspired notion to believe that the world or any other thing was created out of nothing. So instead, he says, we infer that God had materials to organize the world out of chaos, chaotic matter, which is element and in which dwells all the glory. Element had an existence from the time he had, or God had. They had no beginning and can have no end. Then later he talks about who is involved in this creative process or creative enterprise as he talks about it. And he says involved are Michael, Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Peter, James, and John, and Joseph Smith. And then he says many other noble and great ones played a part in the great creative enterprise. This earth was not the first of the Lord's creations. An infinite number of worlds have come rolling into existence at his command. Wow, that is a far different proposition, as you can imagine, from what is contended in the Bible. And that, by the way, is why the Mormons say the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion, but not the Bible. they only hold to the Bible, which they think is a mutilated document with all kinds of errors. They only hold to its truth insofar that they believe things may have been correctly translated. So a lot of it isn't, but some of it is, and they say we'll give some lip service to that which may have been correctly translated.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I see the problem they have, though, is how do they explain all that matter? How did that come to existence, you know?
Yeah.
I guess they don't have an explanation for that. They just say it's always been there, right?
Yeah, and that's the problem. They do not believe in creation ex nihilo. They believe rather in an organization of chaotic matter already in existence, spirit matter.
Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Hank. Thank you for all you do.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Be right back with more answers to your questions.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dave. He's in Brunswick, Georgia. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Thanks for getting to me, and I really appreciate your ministry. My question, real quick, is I live in an area, and I've got friends and family who are involved in the Masonic Order, and just touch base on a few things with some, I guess, initial knowledge that I've gained from the organization, and have the question as to whether or not a Mason can be a Christian, and knowing that God is sovereign and has the last right on who is and who is not, who belongs to Him. But there seems to be some things that I'm finding out that would be a case of maybe spiritual adultery. So just that's the question that I have. Can a Christian be a Mason? And if not, if there's some passages of Scripture that you can lead me to help.
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at what Freemasonry actually teaches. They redefine God as the great architect of the universe, and as long as you believe in that God, you can define Him as Allah or Buddha or Krishna, whatever you want, because in their view, in the view of the Masonic Bible, in fact, there is the edict that religions may be many, but religion is ultimately one, and therefore men can come to their altars regardless of their God. So I do think that what they're teaching does run in direct conflict with what the Bible is teaching, and therefore I think it's very hard to harmonize the belief systems that you find in Freemasonry and the belief system that you have as a result of a genuinely biblical worldview. And we have written about this in various forums. We actually did an article in the Christian Research Journal on this a number of years back. You can access it on the web at equip.org.
All right. Okay, good. Well, I will go there and check into that.
Okay. Right. Wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your call. Uriah next, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Uriah.
Hello. I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk with you, Hank. I have an interesting issue. In the Bible, it says about how, if I'm not mistaken, it's where he says to, Jesus tells his disciples that the pure in heart will see God. And I've had a few moments in my life where I was more in tune that way than I felt otherwise. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, when you're looking at Scripture, I know that there's a lot that can be defining different attributes or different qualities, but is there something that you feel or that you believe is really bringing a focus to what God is looking for in the pure in heart?
Well, yeah, but remember that we are never pure in heart in and of ourselves. We are pure in heart only because of our righteousness, not of our own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And when Christ quotes the psalmist, we need to be in tune with what the psalmist says in context, because then we understand what's going on. And Jesus actually here is quoting from Psalm 24, where the psalmist says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for He founded it upon the seas, He established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And then appended to those words, we have a qualification, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. And such is the generation of those who seek Him. So ultimately, this points back to the salvific work of Jesus Christ. So the heart represents the whole of the inner state, your thought, your will, your emotions, the very center of your being. And of course, Jesus said conversely that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and the like. So the statement here is eschatological. We are not pure now, but in Christ one day we will be, and therefore we will see God. In fact, we will forever commune with God in His essence, but that will only happen when we are one day glorified.
I have one small thought about that. When it comes to looking at the Old Testament, how there are two men, both Elijah and Enoch, how they had a walk with God that was, you know, as it was, that God spared them from death and that they didn't have to die. And I think, and please understand, I'm not judging your ministry here. I know that I've heard a lot of really good pastors at times say things, and I felt like I needed to take that up with the Lord on a higher level, like to see from His point of view. Have you ever found that in your life? Like, have you ever found that there's... one pastor said that if a person, such as myself, a student, gets misled, even just 1 or 2%, that when they're getting to their destination, that 1 or 2%, you know, eventually gets bigger and bigger, right? It can take us away from that focus. So do you have many people that you work with to do this? Like that you...
Well, yeah, and I think that there is also, you know, a direct, not only accountability that you should have within the body of Christ and within relationships that you have in terms of accountability, but also the direct words of Scripture, which admonishes us, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. So certainly whenever you have a platform and you are communicating, you do it with gentleness and with respect, but you also do it with awe and reverential awe. I mean, the same way that God used imperfect people to copy the manuscripts of the Bible. They did it with reverential awe, but nonetheless, they did it in an imperfect fashion, and that is the state for me, and it is the state for everyone in the service of the Master. But you're absolutely right. We should never do this in a cavalier fashion. We need to recognize the incredible responsibility. I have, in my own ministry, seen many, many people have made life decisions based on what I thought was a throwaway statement. So I've never come into this studio in a cavalier fashion thinking, oh, well, just another show. No, I realize it is a grave responsibility, and I take it very seriously. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Josh in Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Josh.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just recently gave my life to Christ, and I've got a lot of questions. I was reading in the Book of Mark, where it said where the Lord would touch people and heal them. And then when He went to the mountains and chose His disciples, He told them to go spread His word and heal people. Now, I don't know if His disciples could actually heal people by their touch, but if so, why not in our days can people not do that, like in His days?
Well, first of all, I don't think that you make the dogmatic statement that that cannot happen. I would be the last person to want to put God in a box and suggest that He can't do a miracle in the present, and furthermore, that He can't do a miracle in the present through a person being involved as an instrument of His grace in that process. So I wouldn't want to suggest that, but I do want to suggest that it's not normative. Remember that miracles attested the apostles as true representatives of God. The same thing is true with respect to the prophets. So what happened is, in that epoch of time, they were ratified by what they did. Their works, their deeds, their words identified them as those who are giving us a final court of arbitration by which we can test all things and hold fast to the good. So the point is that while it was normative in their lives, and certainly normative in the life of the Master, I don't suggest that it is normative in the present day. Furthermore, let me say this, though I believe that God could heal someone or raise someone from the dead in the present, the reality is I have not seen many examples of the kinds of miracles that you find in the Scripture. For example, where have you seen someone who has legitimately been raised from the dead? I've had all kinds of pastors and evangelists tell me that they've experienced resurrections. When I start asking them the hard questions like the name and the date and the details, then all of a sudden you find a lot of fudging. So I think that there are people that are claiming these kinds of miraculous works, like resurrections from the dead and so forth, but there's very little evidence.
Okay. So did his apostle or his disciples, were they able to heal people by their touch?
Well, yes, they were. But again, they were representatives of God. They were imbued with power from on high, and therefore it wasn't their touch. They were the instrument that God condescended to use. So the point here is simply this, that if I present the gospel, it ultimately isn't my presentation of the gospel that saves someone. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that saves them. In the same way, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that heals them. God uses me as an instrument in the process.
What's your opinion on that as far as the day of now we're living in? Do you think that there's people that can do that?
Well, I find that there are a lot of people that say they can do that, but I find that the evidence is sadly missing. For example, one of the greatest healers or pretended healers of our time is Benny Hinn. He's claimed literally thousands and thousands of miracles. I had dinner with him one night and I asked him to give me his three best, and he did. We checked them out and none of them did check out. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I've written about this in some detail in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.